Well, that's great. And it has no greater expression than in the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Great testimonies tonight. If you want to look at the scriptures, it's Genesis chapter 21. I'm sorry to disappoint you by not singing tonight, but I don't believe it will. Genesis 21. Good to have this group over here. Amen. With us in service tonight. Faith of the fathers. Tonight we're going to look at this emphasis. It will happen. It will happen. Father, be with us in the word tonight. You know, each individual heart, purpose, person. Lord, I pray you would minister through the eternity of your word. And wherever folks are at in their thoughts and life and living, that your word would be applicable to that by the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some of the big news this week was the moving of the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. And over, you'll hear this. President Trump said when he campaigned, he promised to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and now he has done what he promised. Now, I don't know if you realize what a rare thing that is for a politician to keep his promise, right? But I want you to know it's not rare with God to keep his promises. It's not rare at all. And this is a message tonight for those, to encourage those who are waiting on God to do something in their lives. You've not seen it happen yet. But I want you to know, God never makes a promise he doesn't keep. And if you've been waiting for God to do something, you've been trusting him, you've been praying, I want you to know God's going to do that thing that he promised. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm working with a handicap here because I realized something. This just struck me with such a weight. Please hear this. I realized we were living in a time where when many, many of God's people have quit expecting anything from God. They've quit desiring anything from God. They quit seeking anything from God. They're not really interested in things from God. And I'm sorry to say, if that is your case tonight, this message will mean nothing. But if you need something from God, if you're desiring something from God, if you're expecting something from God, I want you to know there's a book full of promises of things he says he will do. And however long it's been, it will happen in your life if God said it. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to get back into this. It's been several weeks. And just quick review, at 75, when Abraham was 75, God promised him a son. At 85, Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting, tried to make it happen on their own through the servant girl Hagar, produced Ishmael. And then for 13 years, God was silent. And at 99, God appeared again to Abraham and said, "You're still having that son I promised you those 24 years ago. This time I can tell you it'll be here in the time of life." I want to tell you, that's a lot of waiting. Abraham and Sarah, from when God first gave that promise, they waited for that son. They waited, they waited, they waited, they waited, they waited, they waited for God to do what he said he would do. But you see, they had to learn a special truth that we need to learn too. Just because God hasn't doesn't mean he's not going to. Amen. So we say, well, God hasn't done this and God hasn't done that. If he's promised it, that he hasn't done it means nothing. He is going to do it. It will happen. Let's look at a few verses for the text here. Genesis 21:1. "And the Lord visited Sarah," notice, "as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the time, set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Verse 17. "And God heard the voice of the lad, the other son, Ishmael. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad, Ishmael, where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. You'll understand when we get into the story. I could not get into this story without thinking of the laughing song. How remembers the Southern gospel song, the laughing? And there's that whole chorus of just laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Am I going to try to emulate that? And some of you know the story about one time that came on during a funeral viewing when folks were passing by. That's not really a fitting, appropriate song for a memorial service. The laughing song came on. But I want to ask you, when's the last time you've had deep, felt, joyful, spiritual laughter from your soul? When do you just really have laughed? You see, this is a story about laughing. There's a laugh of doubt in this story. How many remembers when the visitors came to Abraham and Sarah was eavesdropping right inside the door of the tent, and they said, your wife Sarah is going to have a baby, and she's already old. How many remember she laughed? Try to deny. So there's a laugh of doubt. And then we're going to see in the story tonight, there's a laugh of delight. And then we're going to see, because of Ishmael, there's a laugh of derision, mockery. But not only is there laughing in this story, there's crying in this story. There's a cry of anger. Sarah gets angry and cries out against Ishmael. There's a cry of loss. Abraham has to give up Ishmael. There's a cry of helplessness. Hagar cannot provide for her child in the wilderness. There's a cry of hopelessness as Ishmael begins to die. And so by the time we get through tonight, I hope we have the right kind of laugh and the right kind of cry. How many knows there's a right kind of laugh and a right kind of cry? So let me quickly tell the story. After 25 years of being told that one day she would have a son, God had finally told her she only had 9 more months to wait, the time of life. And it happened just like God said. I love the language of Scripture. It said God visited Sarah and she had a child. You know what that means, God visited? It means that God miraculously intervened so that she and Abraham could be enabled both to conceive and her to bear that child. 9 months later, Sarah gave birth. It's time to name the child. And Abraham said, we're going to name him Isaac. Now, you've got to understand something. That's in a different language. We have to imagine that Abraham was an English speaker. That's the only way for us to get this. And so Abraham says, what are we going to call him, Sarah? And finally, Abraham says, I know. Let's call him Laughter. Sarah said, that sounds like a great name. Yeah, let's call him Laughter. Now, can you imagine? See, we're translating. We just hear Isaac. That's not what they heard. They heard laughter. Can you imagine someone asking you, what's that kid's name? Chuckles. That's Chuckles. They named him Laughter. Now Sarah mulled on that name and she says, man, you've pinpointed this thing, Laughter. Why? Because that's perfect, she said. God has made me laugh with delight of having this child. And then she said something else. She said, not only am I going to laugh with delight, but people that care me and know about me, when they hear about this, when they see my child, they're going to laugh with me. How many knows that God gives laughter? But you know, it wasn't just the laugh of rejoicing. It was a laugh of, it's funny. You know, you can read right over Scripture. Don't do it now. Just take my word for it. But Sarah got to mulling on this. She really started laughing because this is funny. She said, look, and I'm going to use the language of Scripture or a little bit, but she said, I'm 90 years old and I'm going to be nursing a child? That's what she said in Scripture. That's funny. And then she looked over at Abraham and said, I've given that old man a baby. You know what the language in Hebrews is? And him as good as dead. Look it up. And I think that the Bible writer got that from Sarah, that she's laughing here. I've given that old man and him as good as dead a child. 8 days later, Abraham circumcised his son. Laughter. I'm sure at that day, the child wasn't laughing. But anyway, that's important because circumcision was the sign that not just Abraham was now a person of the covenant, God's promise. Now through the sign of circumcision, Isaac is a person of God's covenant. And then our story jumps up to 3 years later. The scripture doesn't say 3 years. It says when Isaac was weaned, but by every indication in that culture, they weaned a child at 3 years old. And they threw a huge party when they weaned a child. Some of you celebrated when you had the child throw away their pacifier or whatever, and it was a big celebration. But when they weaned a child, there was a great party. Now, let's do some math here. Ishmael was about 13 years old when Isaac was born. If Isaac's now 3 years old, Ishmael's about 16 or 17 years old. You've got to understand that, because here's what's happening. The neighbors are there, the family's there, the servants there. They're having a great party. And Sarah catches something out of the corner of her eye, and she looks over there, and the 16, 17-year-old Ishmael is torturing, pestering, ridiculing, mocking, making fun of little bitty Isaac. That's a 13 years differential. Now, what would you mothers do if you saw a 13-year-old making fun, mocking, ridiculing, actually laughing, Ishmael was laughing at Isaac. What would you mothers do if that was happening to you? Well, let me tell you what happened. Sarah, mother hen, flew into a rage. She went straight to Abraham and said, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son. I don't want him around to share anything with this family, especially the inheritance." Man, you know, this shows us something. Even people of faith have family problems. And this is a big family problem. Because Ishmael is not Sarah's son. By custom, she could have claimed him because it was her servant Hagar. But Ishmael is Abraham's son, right? And when Sarah said, "Get rid of him," Abraham said, "He's my son. He's as much as my son as Isaac. I don't want to get rid of him." And he's tormented by this, and he goes to bed, and I don't know if he sleeps or not, but God speaks to him, and he says, "Abraham, go ahead and get rid of the slave woman and her son, because if he's around, it will continue to make trouble. There'll be a problem with the inheritance. But go ahead and get rid of those two, because listen, Abraham, you can rest assured I'm going to take care of Ishmael. He's your son, and I will not abandon him." So early the next morning, scripture says, Abraham arose and filled the canteen. Now let me tell you what the canteen was. It wasn't round. How many knows the canteens during the days, they would skin an animal, try to take the skin off whole, and then sew up all the openings and leave maybe one leg opening. That was their canteen. So he filled a canteen with water, put some food together, put a knapsack on Hagar's back, and sent the two out into the wilderness. So here they are, not having any destination to go to, and they go further and further into the wilderness. The sun gets hotter. They've used up the food. They've drank the water. The sun's beating down. They're dehydrated. They're weak, and now they're starting to stumble in circles aimlessly. And Hagar can tell her son is dying. Ishmael's dying, so she pushes him under a bush. And then the Bible says she goes however far you would shoot an arrow. That's quite a distance, whatever it is, 90, 100 feet. Because she didn't want to see her son die. But there was another reason. She didn't want to hear his cries, but she didn't want him to hear her crying out in desperation. And she begins to cry out in this desperation for her son. And God spoke in her wails and said, "Listen, Hagar, what's wrong? Don't be afraid. I promise that I'm going to take care of you and Ishmael. And as bad as it seems, you and your child are not going to die, because I am going to make, even though he's not the child of promise, I'm going to make a great nation of Ishmael as well as Isaac." And then God says, interesting, something interesting. Here we were out in the wilderness, and God said to Hagar, look over there. There's a well of water right there. She had never seen it. Hagar went to that well, filled the canteen, took the water back to Ishmael, poured it down his throat till he could drink himself, revived the child. And from that point on, God worked even in the life of Ishmael and Hagar to build a great nation of Ishmael. Now, that's the story, and I'm going to be rapid fire tonight, but let's look at the truths we learned from that. There are many truths, but let's latch onto them. Now, let me tell you how this happens. You got to keep the story in mind for these truths to make sense, okay? So keep that story I just shared in mind. Number one, or however you want to do it, God, despite your mess ups, will keep his promises to you. Abraham and Sarah kept messing up. They lied. They did this wrong. They did that wrong. They had the thing about Hagar. But in spite of their mess ups, God kept that promise to give them a son. Now, I do want to give this caveat here. They weren't messing up away from God. They weren't messing up because they were through with God. They weren't messing up because they had enough of God. They didn't want God. They were messing up as they tried to serve God. That should bring great comfort to us. I'm not talking about just promiscuous, presumptive sin, but I'm saying if you're trying to serve God and you failed and you faltered and you've made a mess of things, that doesn't mean God's given up his promise for you. How many takes comfort in that tonight? Truth number two, God never forgets or fails to keep a promise. That's a whole message, but I just want to reiterate. It's been 25 years from the giving of the promise to the fulfillment of the promise, but God is faithful. If you would return to verse 1, notice the emphasis here. The scripture says, Sarah had this child as he had said, as God had said, amen, as he had spoken, maybe the next verse, and as God had said, everything happened just like God had said. No wonder the man later said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not spoken it, and shall he not do it? Hath he not said it, and shall he not bring it to pass? God's word is true. God, how many believes God keeps his promises? Next truth, God has a set time. Look at verse 2 of verse 21. Sarah conceived, Abraham had a son, at the set time. Now, this isn't just the set time of 9 months later, though that's the immediate reference. This is at the set time God had in mind. God knew 25 years ago when he was going to give Isaac. He had a time. Folks, in our lives, we got to understand this. We may have our agenda and other people have their agenda, but God's got an agenda for our lives. It's a wonderful thing to be seeking God for fulfillment, to live out what he has said. How many believes God has a time for victory for you? God has a time for bringing that thing to pass. And at the set time, it happened. God knew all along when and how. Next truth, God will turn doubt into delight. And I know there's a lot that goes between doubt and delight and getting from doubt to delight. But the truth of the matter is, it's so vivid in the story. Sarah, she heard you're going to have a child. She's going to have a child. She laughed. That's the funniest thing I ever heard. It's impossible. It can't happen. She was laughing in doubt. But when God got through, he had changed the laugh of doubt to the laugh of delight. Don't look at me funny. You guys, you have doubts too, right? Can you imagine over those 25 years how often that Sarah and Abraham doubted? Here's the next truth. God moves in ways that are not only ironic, they're just plain humorous. I pointed this out when I told this story, but Sarah begins to contemplate how people are going to join her in laughing with delight. But she got to think, you know, when these other people get around, it's going to look funny to them. And don't think it's not. You know, we got a lot of young mothers, and we're thankful for those. But let's say you young mothers, and this is all discreet, but it's just a poignant illustration. You young mothers are back in the nursery, and a 90-year-old sister comes in the nursery to nurse her child? Isn't that kind of humorous? And Sarah gets to thinking about this. And she follows that with, you know, and I've already pointed this out in the telling of the story, but I've given the old man a baby. Now, you know, if this were in modern time, they would be in a real dilemma. How do you go to the mall and manage your walker and stroller at the same time? You know, I believe serving God is very, very serious, and I don't believe in silliness. But I'll tell you what, sometimes the people of God need to lighten up a little bit. Next truth. God will do it, that thing that he's promised. God will do it, but your past mistakes will seek to take the delight of it away. What in the world are you talking about? Here, Sarah is so happy to have Isaac. And then the mistake she and Abraham made with Hagar producing Ishmael, Ishmael changes Sarah's attitude completely. She went from delight to anger and frustration because Ishmael, the mistake, and I'm not talking about as a person he's a mistake, I'm talking about how he came into being was a mistake, begins to mock her son and take her delight out of having Isaac. I want to tell you, it's a very clear thing. Your past will take your delight out of what God has done for you. You could look at the things God has done and begin to feel delight, and all of a sudden you can think of all your past mistakes and just suck the delight out of what God has done. That's what happened. Here's why. Because forever in Scripture, Ishmael is a type of the flesh. He was a product of Abraham and Sarah doing things carnally. And Isaac is a type of the Spirit. You know what we actually have there when we have Ishmael ridiculing Isaac? What do you have there in type? You have the flesh ridiculing the Spirit. You've had that happen. You've moved out in a worship service and worshiped God with your spirit. And before you got on the parking lot, your flesh made fun of how you worshiped in the Spirit. Certainly not our young people. I would hope not, but it has happened. The best I've seen a young person moving in the Spirit, and some young people in the flesh looking, pointing, laughing, making fun. It happened then. It still happens. Whenever there is an expression of the Spirit, the flesh that's around will want to ridicule it. And if you allow it, the ridicule will make fun of the Spirit. How many's had that even happen when you begin to feel the Spirit? You begin to feel the Spirit, and the fleshly things you've done begin to surface. And just take what you're feeling in the Spirit. Here's another truth. God simply doesn't abandon folks, even those who have not done so well. Now listen, Hagar had done wrong. How many remembers when Ishmael was born, she turned against Sarah and began to be very terse and disrespectful to her master's wife, Sarah? So Hagar had done wrong. Ishmael had done wrong. He had made fun of the little boy Isaac and tormented him, put Sarah in tears. But both of them, Hagar and Ishmael, were victims of Abraham and Sarah's fleshly plot. So they had done wrong, and yet God refused to abandon them. Everything seems to be going Sarah and Isaac's and Abraham's way. Everything seems to be going against Hagar and Ishmael, and they're really not deserving of it. But God, for Abraham's sake, did not abandon them. By the way, your loved ones may be doing wrong, but serve God, because God, for your sake, will not abandon them. You see, here's the thing. Let's look at it from Hagar's point of view. She's in the wilderness. She's convinced they're going to thirst to death. And because she's wailing and crying and bemoaning her situation, she never saw that well. Now, some like to get real sensational and say, well, the well wasn't there when Hagar looked around and she began to cry and God miraculously just put a well in front of her. And he could have done that, and he could have done it any time. But I really think the matter is the Bible says God showed her the well. I think the well was there all the time, but she was so involved in crying and bemoaning her situation, she didn't see the place of refreshing. How many knows that we can be so bemoaning and wailing because of the desert that we're in that we miss the well that God has provided? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that in the service? Your eyes are so on your desert, you fail to see the well. But God is merciful. He showed her the well. So what are we going to take home tonight, real quick, in summary? First of all, never quit believing that God has a promise for you. Let me tell you one reason. Please hear this, if nothing else tonight. One of the reasons our relationships with God become stale and we lose our fervor and passion for serving God is that we forget that living a life for God is to be filled with His promises. He has promises for us every day in every way. We have a host of promises. Now, you know, there's different ways to count it. But one person has counted 7,474 promises of God in Scripture. Now, understandably, not all of those are applicable to you or to me. But if there's 7,474 promises in Scripture, we can pretty much be certain that many of them are applicable to us. And when you quit believing that you live with God's promises to you, your relationship with God will get stale. What am I trying to say? God wants to do something for you. He has promised that, and there's promises for you. Second take home, go on despite your doubts. Think how often in those 25 years Abraham and Sarah doubted. Everything was against their having a child. Biology, experience, time, whatever people said, but they refused to doubt. I could preach there, but I just want to read some scriptures from the New Testament concerning this and leave it there. Romans 4, look at this. This is talking about Abraham and Sarah. They had their doubts, but who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither, he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, this needs to be us. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I love this next verse, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's how you handle doubts. You don't consider the doubt. He didn't consider his own dead body. You consider the promise of God. Next take home truth. Laugh the right laughs. Cry the right cries. It's okay to laugh and cry, but make sure they're right. Don't laugh in doubt as Sarah. Don't laugh in derision as Ishmael. Laugh in delight. Amen. Don't cry the cries of anger like Sarah did, the cries of vengeance. Don't cry the cries of helplessness and hopelessness. Cry the cries of help and assistance from God. Two more take homes. Number, whatever it is. Don't look so intensely on the desert that you miss the well. Even right now where you're at. Some of you, I just know it's just probability amongst the saints of God. Some of you are in a desert experience spiritually. And you can be so absorbed in seeing the desert, you miss the well that God has for you. How many knows that God always provides a well for his people in the desert? You don't believe it? Read the book. People of Israel, he brought water out of a rock. Last of all, remember, it will happen. God said it would. Just remember that. Never give up on the promise of God to your life, to your heart, to the people of God. Go ahead and come, music. I'm not going to sing this, but as I prepared, I kept hearing this old song, just a chorus. We used to sing this years ago. It says, I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you will. That's according to his promise. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Trust and obey. Believe it and say, I believe God. Amen. How many is going to believe his promises that it will happen? I wrote recently, the thing we need to do is doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. We get it backwards. We believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs. But there comes a time we need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. How about that? It'll happen. Let's stand tonight. Father, thank you for the eternity of your word. Amen. Would you come and pray? Let's pray tonight.
but he did say he'd be there if I fall. He didn't tell me he'd hear complaints I whispered. Oh, but he did say he'd hear me when I called. Possible.